I'm going to read from the 10th chapter, verse 4 through 11. And it says, when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that there should be time no more. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. The voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, saying, go and take the little book. Verse 9. And I went, and I said, give me the little book. And the angel said unto me, take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book. I ate it up. It was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Verse 11. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues. My thought that I have been inspired with from that passage is that there's still time for ministering. There's still messages to be preached. It is a time that you and I need to rejoice at the sound of the gospel. It is not time for us to be slack or to be lazy or sleepy. We must be very alert and know that there is coming a day, and it may be soon, when the mystery of God should be finished. As we said this morning, and we spoke of the Holy Spirit, and we spoke about the spirit of man tonight, we are wanting to speak more about the Holy Ghost. And we want to speak to each one of us tonight concerning sanctification and what the word of the Lord says. It's part of the gospel message. And maybe we don't hear a lot of messages concerning sanctification very often. But I want to start out with a scripture that should grab our attention. It is in John 3 and verse 5. It says, Jesus said, verily, verily. What that says is saying, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. The man has to be filled with the Spirit of God. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now that sounds very hard, maybe. You might even say, well, what about the thief on the cross? He wasn't sanctified. Well, we would also have to say he wasn't baptized, because we have scriptures that tell us to be saved, baptized, and sanctified. But you know what the main issue was? That the thief did not have opportunity. And Jesus simply said, when he spoke those words, Father, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. But you and I are responsible, a responsible generation. We're living in an age of time. It's mercy. We're in a time that God is extending mercy to every creature on the face of the earth. We need to avail ourselves of the time and the opportunity. We need to recognize what the word says. And the word Jesus was very plain. He said, truly, if you are not filled with the Spirit of God, if you've not been born by the Spirit of God, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let us take that passage and let it sink down into our hearts. Let us examine ourselves before the Lord. We need to take time to prepare to meet God. So our thought tonight is going to be on the sanctification by the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, he prepared the way for Christ. In Luke, the third chapter, and I'll have to be reading these verses tonight, so I'll be taking a little bit more time. I didn't write them all down. The third chapter of Luke, verses 15 through 17. It says, and as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Verse 17, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. So this was the message that John the Baptist was preaching prior to Christ and his ministry, his work in the earth. And yet he had a vision of the kind of baptizing that Christ would do for mankind. He would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, another scripture that John the Baptist, he said in Luke, the 24th chapter. And verses 47 and 49. And these are Jesus's words. He said, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. 49. And he said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye at the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. He was trying to teach and instruct the apostles. He was trying to point them to the time when they would have more power. We have witnessed by the scriptures that the apostles did not always demonstrate the grace or the faith. We know how Peter was very forthright and hasty in his words and hasty in his actions. And he even told Jesus, he said, I'll go with you all the way. I'll die with you. And Jesus told him, you're going to deny me three times tonight before the cock crows in the morning. He probably could not believe that of himself, but he did not have the power that the Holy Ghost gave him later. We know the account that Peter even denied that he knew Christ. And as he saw Christ, the scripture says he went out. He saw his look on his face. He went out and he wept bitterly. He knew he had failed and he wanted to do better. In other words, he wanted to gain his place back with the with Christ as one of his followers. But another scripture is in John, the 14th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 26. Jesus is still trying to prepare his disciples to look forward to when the Holy Ghost would come. Maybe they didn't understand what that meant, but they knew there was something coming that would give them power to overcome. So in the 26th verse, it said, Jesus says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So we see another aspect of the Holy Ghost, the intentions, the purpose, the work of the Holy Ghost was not only to be the comforter to those that felt like they'd failed, and yet he knows that they're going to need to be taught and led by truth. And we have another scripture in the 16th chapter of John, verse 13. And it says, Jesus said this too, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Oh, I want to thank the Lord tonight that I have experienced the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I have experienced the teaching of the Holy Spirit. I have experienced the leadings of the Holy Spirit and teaching me the truth. I love the truth. The Holy Spirit has put in me the Spirit of truth, to love the truth, to want to obey the truth. He gives us power to follow him in all of the truth. You and I don't need to be halfway believing the truth. We can believe all of the truth by the power and the leadings and the teachings of the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord. So let's go a little bit farther now. We're going to consider some prophecy over in Zechariah, the 4th chapter and verse 6. And it says, "This is the word of the Lord. It is not by might, it is not by power, nor by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Oh, I want to tell you, that's a powerful scripture, because you and I can look at power. Maybe we can admire it and desire it. I do desire the power of the Holy Spirit. I desire to experience the might of God. He is the mighty God. He is the one that can strengthen me to have might in my walk with him. Thank the Lord. But he says, most important is his Spirit. It is by his Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So we want to look a little bit at Acts, and it'll be in the second. I'm going to be just talking about it, first and second chapter. We find that Christ has been risen, and he's prepared his apostles, telling them to wait at Jerusalem, wait for the gift of the Father, wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. He was seen 40 days. 120 apostles and women were still in the upper room, and they remembered his words that they were to tarry there, that they were to wait for the promise, that they were to see power after the Holy Ghost would come upon them. While they were there, they were in one accord, praying. They were in prayer and supplications. It is so important to be in the unity of the Spirit. The people of God will have power if they are in unity together. The scripture tells us that we need to see eye to eye. We need to speak the same things. We don't need to be at odds with each other. Something happens when we are not in agreement. We do not have the power. We do not have the authority when we are not in agreement. So the church of God needs to be in agreement. The church of God, the ministers of God, need to be preaching the same thing, seeing eye to eye, living the same way they're preaching. This is so important because we're living in the last days and the mystery of God is almost finished. And you and I must be ready when that hour comes. So they were there together in one accord. And I'm going to be reading from Acts, the second chapter. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 8, 11 through 14, 16 through 18, and 21. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound of heaven from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. I'm going to stop right there for a little bit. I want to insert here what is really taking place as a witness to the time that the Holy Ghost made its appearance in this age. There was a time that God, he caused the people to not be able to build a tower into heaven. And so the way that he hindered that process, he confounded their languages. And it sent people throughout the earth in different places, different languages. They had to learn each other's languages in order to understand. And so now we are this far down into time itself. It is time for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Christ has risen from the grave. Christ has been crucified and risen and ascended to the Father. And he's now in a position. God is in a position now to send forth the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's a miraculous thing that he has done. You might say, well, why do we not see that happening today? Why do we not see cloven tongues sitting upon our heads? Why is there not a rushing mighty wind? This was the inception of the Holy Ghost. It was manifested in this way. It was demonstrated with power, with authority, with strange things that all of these people that spoke different languages, when they spoke, they each one heard what the other one was saying in their own language. Now, could that happen today? I believe it could. I believe if there was a need, if there were people that came into our midst of another language, I believe that God still has the power to convert our words into their language. It makes me think of a time, two times the Lord spoke this to me several years ago in my ministry. I was feeling very inadequate to minister to the ones in our congregation. There were a number of older saints there, and I felt like that they were much farther along than I was. I didn't know how. I felt like I was talking baby talk. And so I went before the Lord, and I was crying out to the Lord. And the Lord spoke this to me. And he used this example right here. And he said, "It is none of your business what I do with your words once they leave your mouth. I will convert it into their own language." And I saw the Lord do that. Another time, we had a couple that was coming to our congregation that had been in another movement, another religion. This was all very new to them. I said to myself, it's our vocabulary. The vocabulary of the Church of God is going to be so unfamiliar to them. And again, I went before the Lord and I said, "Lord, how can I feed the congregation and feed this couple also?" And the Lord plainly said to me, "You are to preach what I give you to preach. I will convert it into their own language." He also told me that he would protect them, that they would not hear anything that they didn't need to hear. At that time, I followed it. I knew nothing else to do. And there were some that felt like that I was overstepping my bounds, that I was using the word of the Lord as a club. But I saw God protect those from hearing anything that would be an offense. They were babes in Christ. Let us not be afraid to trust God, that even today he can convert it into their own language. Thank the Lord. I am a witness that God can do that. So that's what the Lord did here at the inception of the Holy Spirit. The people all heard it in their own language. Going on down to verse 8. And they said even, "How hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" And skipping on down to verse 11 through 14. "We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." Now, I'm not sure that they would have heard it if it had been anything else but the wonderful works of God. I believe if it was just chit-chat, If it was just gossip, I don't believe they would have heard anything in their own tongue. But the power of God took the word of God and converted it into their own tongue. Thank the Lord. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to the other, "What meaneth this?" Verse 14, but Peter, here we have Peter that denied the Lord. We had Peter that was hasty when Jesus was walking on the water and they realized it was Christ. And Peter said, "If thou art Christ, bid me to come." And he said, "Come." And he stepped out on the water, and no doubt he was amazed himself that he was buoyant on top of the water. And yet we know that he began to sink. And Jesus even told him, reprimanded him a little bit. "Why did you fail in your faith? Why did you doubt?" So these were the characteristics of Peter. But now, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're seeing Peter, a different Peter. He's standing up boldly and he is saying, but Peter, standing up, lifted up his voice. And he said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken to my words. For these They thought they were drunk. People looking on thought they were drunk. They weren't hearing it in their language. And so he says, they're not drunk, but this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. By how? By the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost has an office that is working today. It has not failed. It's still in operation. It's producing the commands that come from God and comes from Christ. Thank the Lord. It's still working today. And so it says that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on the handmaids, I will pour out those in those days my spirit. Thank the Lord. And they shall prophesy. So we've started out saying that this is still the day of the gospel. There's still time for us to send forth the word of God. But we need to be awake and alert to all of the gospel. I'm afraid that there are those that are being satisfied with only an experience of salvation. They're not going on to the place that God has ordained for his people to obtain power, to overcome our flesh, to overcome our temptations in the flesh. The thought that we had this morning concerning the spirit of man, the spirit of man will determine whether I give in to the good fruit of the spirit or if I give in to the temptations of the enemy. It is through my spirit I can determine the outcome of my soul, and it will affect my literal body. The scripture says that you and I will give an account for the deeds done in our body, the actions that we take. Our spirit can affect the choices that we make. It can affect my soul. It says, the scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But we don't have to die if we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It will keep us. One scripture says it will seal us. Thank the Lord. I remember a number of years ago, it was soon after Lauren got saved, and there were some issues that were happening among the church that was hurtful. And we both left and cried nearly all the way home. And I'm saying, oh, there's nothing left for me to do but give up. Not Lauren Vance. He went home, he got on his knees, and there wasn't anything left for me to do but get on my knees. And I learned what that scripture meant, that he would seal us. We don't have to give up. We may be tempted to give up, but the power of the Holy Ghost can keep me, can seal me, can cause me to continue in my sanctified experience. Thank the Lord. I fell on my knees beside him, and we both prayed through to victory over that thing. You don't have to let anything turn you back. Praise God. He's got a plan that is so perfect, and he wants to help every one of us today. I want to challenge us today. Examine where you stand before the Lord. If you have been satisfied with just being redeemed and just being saved. And I'm glad you are. I'm glad every soul that is saved, I pray that God will keep them saved. But I feel a burden that we need to go on and get a hold of the Spirit of God. We could call it go on to a perfected place. Oh, they say, I'm not perfect. How can I be perfect? I'm still in the flesh. I can tell you one thing. The scripture also says that if I fail, I have an advocate, Jesus Christ. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's not willing for me to fail. He's not willing for me to be lost. But he will send forth the power to uphold me and lift me up and set me on my feet again. He's done it. That's why I know what he can do. Thank the Lord. So let's go on a little bit farther now. Let's go in Acts, the second chapter. Let's go down to verse 38. This is going to be Peter again. Peter said unto, it's a multitude now that he's talking to. He's not afraid. He's not denying Christ. He's standing up boldly in the face of those who might even be ridiculing him. But he said, this is the message. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, he'd experienced it now, see. He waited for it, along with all of the other 120. They waited for it, and it came upon them. They knew what it could do. And now he is telling others, you repent. Now, I'm going to tell you this. God does not sanctify anyone that is not redeemed. You cannot skip over. You cannot say, well, I've been so good. I'm a good person. I've never done anything really bad. If you are not redeemed, you are not redeemed. You must be saved before you can have the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, oh, this is a wonderful passage, is unto you and to your children. I'm going to say that tonight. This promise of receiving the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, sanctifying our nature, that's another thing it will do. It purges us and purifies us along the way. There are times that you and I cannot see ourselves, but in time, God allows events to come into our life and we see our lack or our need. And what do? Oh, we give up. No, we don't give up. We run to the one that has sanctified us and will sanctify us and will purge us and purify us. So the promise is to you and to your children. Thank the Lord. And to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I want to tell you, there's a call right now. We're coming down to the close of an age. We know not the day or the hour. We're not predicting anything, but I believe God's sending out a call. He's calling the lost to repentance, but he's calling the redeemed to a closer, Holy Ghost-filled life. He wants to prove his power to you to overcome in this age. Thank the Lord. So I believe that there is a call that is going out even now. And then it says, verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. What does that say? Are we in a time that there's more wickedness in this world, more wicked people than ever before? There is. We had a little message a week ago, tried to impress it upon our minds. The number of population, 7.8 billion people. And how that there are those that will say, oh, there's been a time that it's been more wicked than this. I disagree. There's been a time that there was always a wickedness, but there's never been a time with this many people upon the face of the earth. And it makes the number increased of those who are committing despicable things and wicked things. So, yes, this is in a dark time, and we need to save ourselves. How do you do that? Well, let's go back to the little message this morning. We talked about self-control. Nobody takes your hand and forces you to steal. Nobody takes your mouth and forces you to drink or to utter words that are unwise and hurtful. And in the power of the tongue, there's death. Nobody makes you do that. It's because your will, you have a will, and your spirit that you have yielded yourself to causes you to do those things. And it's the same with this. Choose life. Choose to live a holy life. Choose to seek after the Holy Ghost. He said that you would find him. When you seek for him with all of your heart, I know that's the formula. You cannot seek God with half of your heart. You must seek him with all of your heart. He'll be happy to rain righteousness on you. He'll be happy to rain down into your heart and life the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord. Oh, I want to tell you, God, he has it all. He has it all. So the scripture went on to say, then they that gladly received his word, they were baptized. They believed him. I would be so happy if there's anyone listening tonight that would gladly receive his word and seek after this with their whole heart. You'll find him. He'll be there. Thank the Lord. Let's go a little bit farther now. After this occurrence where the apostles received the power of the Holy Ghost, in several scriptures you'll find in the New Testament that as there were new converts, there was something that was said to them. It became a watchword. It said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Some of those that was said to, they said, well, we haven't even heard there was a Holy Ghost. And so the apostles expounded the word to them more perfectly, and they gladly received the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something. A lot of times in that age, when they became a Christian, when they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then when they gave themselves willingly to have the Holy Ghost fill their very being and give them the power, they may have done it at the cost of their life. They ran toward it. They didn't hold back. I believe that they didn't say, well, if I do that, I might have to preach. well, if I do that, I might have to be a missionary. If I do that, I'll have to quit going some places. I don't believe they had those kind of thoughts. I believe they saw the value. And it was the watchword of that age. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you have believed? I believe we need to revive that watchword. We need to be examining ourselves. Have I fallen short here somewhere? I need the power to overcome my flesh. I need the power that will take me to the end of my life. Thank the Lord. So that was the watchword of that age. And many people willingly accepted having the Holy Spirit rule and reign in their lives. Now I want to read a scripture in 1 Thessalonians. And this one is a scripture that I had this morning. I want to reinsert it tonight. And it's the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And let me see, 23 and 24. And it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. And then it says, I pray, God, I pray, God, your whole spirit, the spirit of man, the emotions of man, the thoughts, the understanding, that we spoke of this morning, my choices, the things that influence me, that's my spirit. I can have a right spirit or I can have a wrong spirit. If I am walking in the flesh, I can be controlled and influenced by a wrong spirit, a fleshly spirit. If I am walking in the spirit, I can be influenced by the fruits of the spirit. Whose spirit is that? The spirit of God, the spirit of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of Christ, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, merciful. All of those things can influence me and guide my decisions and my choices. It will influence my very soul. It will cause my body to act right. I will not have to come down to the judgment and give a negative account of the deeds done in my body if I'm following the right spirit. So he's saying here, I pray God that your whole spirit and soul, see, you already have a soul, eternal soul. It's going to go back to God. And body. Now, what is he praying for? Be presented, preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then look at 24. I didn't give this one this morning. Faithful is he that calleth, who also will do it. God will do it for you, but you have to have your will in subjection. Thank the Lord. Now I'm going to 2 Timothy. We're almost through here. 2 Timothy 2 and 21. Okay, verse 21, if a man purge himself, how can you do that? We have been taught, we believe that Christ, the blood of Christ cleanseth us, and that is the truth. But I play a part. I can keep myself clean. My spirit can be kept clean. My soul can be kept clean. My body can perform the actions of one that is walking a holy life. That's what this is talking about. If a man purge himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Do you want to be used of the Lord? You want to be a vessel that is an honorable vessel? You have to keep yourself. Remember, nobody forces you to fail. God gives you power to overcome, but you have to receive it. You can be meet for the master's use and prepared for every good work. Now let's end with a very 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Very familiar scripture. And we're going to look at 3 through 4 and verse 7. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Don't draw back. It's the will of God. He knows that you can be an overcomer if you take that second work of grace into your life. That ye should abstain. Now listen to this. This is where we are in this age. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Why would he put that in there? Connecting it up with sanctification. I'm going to tell you why. We're living in an unclean world. It is on every hand. We have to make covenants with our eyes. Not just the men. Us women need to make covenants with our eyes. We must not dwell on anything that would draw us away or influence our spirit to affect our body into some action. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You can possess it. It can be yours. It can go with you to the end of your life. It can perform all of the works of the Holy Spirit. We gave a number of things this morning that was the works of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 7, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. Let the Holy Spirit influence our spirit to holiness. Our final scripture is a scripture we'll just quote. It says, the spirit, and I'm going to say this, of man. The spirit of man is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh wants to take over the spirit. The flesh wants to have its way. But if you will submit yourself unto God, and you will be sanctified holy, you will have power to overcome in this life. You'll be able to face God and have confidence. Your heart will not condemn you. The scripture says, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. But he says, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence. Thank the Lord. That's our little message tonight. I wish I could tell you how the Lord gave it. He had to make me to know there is a lack among the people of God, and they're falling short of some great privileges. I don't want to fall short. I want every privilege that God has for me.